is Scott.
This is Pat.
Glad you are joining us today at Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We got a great program.
We're going to talk a little bit about what your retirement looks like. Is it ideal or is it just okay?
Kind of wants versus needs. Also, we've got an interesting guest later on. We've got the father of the 401k, the person who created the 401k, will be joining us.
And lastly, we are going to talk a little bit about immigration. And how are these labor issues slowing the growth of our economy?
Yeah, so stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
And now, for the Financial Times ranked top investment advisor, Hanson McLean, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are here with us as we talk about financial issues and talk about things that are going on in the financial world. Our objective is to help make you wiser when it comes to the decisions you make with your money, to have more joy, I think, with your finances, less complicated financial life. And
we've been on the radio talking to people just like yourself for over 20 years.
Yep, both myself and my co-host, we're both financial advisors. And, of course, that name's thrown around a lot. We're a certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We founded Hanson McLean Advisors almost 25 years ago with the objective of helping people plan for and transition into retirement.
And firm services over 7,000 people.
Yep. And of course, we've
many, many states, many states. Maybe all states.
I think all states. I think I've got licenses in all 50 states. Not that I've been to all 50 states. Nor do I necessarily want to go to all 50 states.
I don't want to go to anyone's state that on a kid's puzzle has to be attached to another state.
Is that part of your role? One of those states you can drive through in about 20 minutes?
Yes.
Just a little sliver.
Although I've been to those states.
Yeah, those states I've been to. Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about states that But we do have a great program today, and glad you're with us. And as usual, at Hanson McLean, we'll take calls to answer your questions. And if you want to be part of our program. Oh, real quick, before we do that, you know, we send out a email every week that's got a lot of great topics on it, and I'm sure many of you follow along. But also, we on our website, we've got some great stuff. And we had an article that did particularly well. And so, you know, as we're talking about planning for this, we said, we really ought to let our listeners know that if you don't subscribe to our newsletter, go onto our website. This article, Seven Retirement Income Sources is the title of it. And it went out on one of our emails not long ago. Seven Retirement Income Sources. And we talk about the difference between, you know, the Social Security and a retirement savings account, such as an IRA. We also talk about some things that are maybe not as common. Reverse mortgage, when's that used at times, et cetera. So go on to Hanson McLean's website and view that. And also, if you don't get our newsletter.
Yeah, it's over 20,000 people receive our email newsletter in their box every Friday afternoon, Friday evening, and it's free, easy to do. Just while you're on the website, HansonMcLean.com, sign up for that.
Yeah, and if you'd like to join us today, you've got a question for us. You're pointing at me like I...
Oh, the marketing lady said to me today when we were coming into the studio, make sure you mention Facebook. So we have a Facebook page.
The marketing lady. She produces our program.
All right, well, I'm not good with titles. She produces the program. She said Facebook. So if you're a Facebooker, and one of the fans of the what they call the fangs, right? Facebook. What are you rolling your eyes for?
You're trying to bring this back into like an investment thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
What percentage of our listeners know what fang is?
Well, that's why I was going to share
it with them.
They call them the fangs, which was the big four, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. They call them one of the
fangs. And frankly, in the last year, if all you owned were those four, you did just perfectly dandy.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I mean, if you're not diversified beyond that, you might be in real trouble in the future. But in any case.
There we go. But
so our Facebook.
Visit us at our Facebook
page. We do have a great Facebook page. Just Facebook.com/ Hanson McLean, and you'll find our Facebook page. And we have more and more stuff going on there all the time. But if you want to join us as a caller today, we'd love to take your call to join Hanson McLean. Question regarding anything in your financial life. 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888, numerically, is 242-6766. And we're going to start off in Northern California with Steve. Steve, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Steve.
All right. So I have a question about Social Security and how it relates to my wife's current Social Security disability income she gets.
Okay.
And how that's going to change when I take my Social Security or she should convert, or I'm just very confused.
Okay.
So basically, she's 63, will be 64 in August. I'm 61. She gets just over 500 a month of SSI. And when I retire, which I think is probably be about another 4 years, I understand that hers will convert to half of my, whatever my Social Security is.
It can. It doesn't necessarily happen.
Okay.
So what was your age again?
My age is 61. I just turned 61 in March.
And your wife's age again, please?
She's 63. She'll be 64 in August.
Okay.
And so I'm just wondering, you know, really when is the best time? Someone told me we could convert her SSI into regular Social Security. You know, I hear so many things, and it doesn't mean it's true. And the people at the Social Security office weren't exactly definitive.
Yeah. Yep.
And how much would your wife now is receiving $500 a month in Social Security disability?
Correct. $536.
And how much would she receive if she went on her own Social Security benefit today under the retirement plan, not under the disability? How much would that amount be?
I believe it'd be about $1,830 or something like that.
So is your plan to wait 1830?
That doesn't sound right really at all.
Is your plan now to wait until her normal retirement age, and then because it'll convert over at that point? Or
I'm not sure what the best plan is to maximize it.
Okay, so
got it.
So you've got three different options, right?
And Social Security is there's a lot of little nuances around it. There really are. So
yeah, so you have three options. One is to stay on her own Social Security disability. The other is to go on her Social Security retirement, if you will, regular Social Security. The other is to go on your Social Security when you go for that.
There's
negatives and drawbacks to every one of those. So the first thing you have to start with is what would her benefit be today if she started her Social Security?
Normal
retirement. And what would it be if she deferred it until age 66 and then age 70. And then the second question is, what would the benefit actually be for if she went on yours when you started yours at age 62 versus deferring it? Do you know any of those numbers?
Well, I know what mine is, and I don't think it'd be wise for me to take it at 62. I think I really need to wait till I'm about 65 or maybe 66.
And how much would yours be?
At normal retirement.
I'm pulling that. It's 2,300 and something. It's, you know, 2,414. I'm looking at it right here. It says if I wait till full retirement age, 2,414.
At age 66?
66. What does it say here? 66. That's 66 years, 4 months.
And 4 months.
Okay. And so you're a pretty high earner. You made pretty good income throughout your lifetime.
Yes.
My guess is going to be at when you go to retire, her best bet would be receive half of your benefit. You said hers would be $1,800.
That doesn't sound right.
Doesn't sound right.
Well, consider her Social Security, her disability is at $500 a day.
Yeah.
How long has she been on Social Security disability?
Well, that's after they take out the Medicare and everything else. It's $536.
So, it still doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
I know. She's been disabled for 25 years.
Yeah, so it's not going to be $1,800. So when you go to receive your retirement, hers can pop up to 50% of yours.
Okay.
And when you pass, let's assume you predecease her, which maybe you don't, but if you predecease her, then she would receive your benefit as a survivor's benefit.
So without actually looking at the exact numbers, the recommendation would be that she go on 50% of your benefit when you collect it.
Okay, and she would not do that if she converts right now to a regular Social Security?
It still would happen that way, yes.
Yeah, but it's, okay. So she might be better off converting to
my
her regular.
My guess is no. It's probably on disability until she reaches normal retirement age.
That's my guess. But the number that you quoted us for what you think her Social Security benefit is so far off the mark versus what she's receiving in disability, we question the validity of it.
Okay, all right.
And we also...
Yeah,
And we have a webinar on our website that also might help, Steve. I think it's about 45 minutes long that we did a lot of these nuances on Social Security. If you go to HansonMcLean.com under the resources, under the radio tab.
Didn't you?
Yeah. It'll cover quite a few of these different topics. And Social Security also has a pretty intensive website. Part of the challenge is there sometimes you
get lost on it.
Yeah.
Navigating it was impossible. Well,
thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't have enough knowledge to begin with on it, it's really challenging.
So you might want to start with that. And then if it goes any further, we have an office pretty close to you where we have advisors in there that may make sense for you to walk through. But you really got to get a handle.
I want to get in there and actually have you look at my 401ks and everything else and tell me what to do with those and everything else because about 700K.
Well, it's good to do prior to retirement.
So we actually have software that is pretty sophisticated that helps with these questions on the Social Security. But start with Scott's webinar. It's one of the most exciting Social Security webinars you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, I don't care what TV shows that you really enjoy watching.
They're thinking about doing a Netflix special.
Yeah. Netflix special on Social Security strategies.
Anyway, thanks for your call, Steve.
That'll go.
Thank you very much. You've been very helpful.
Thanks, Steve. The high school teacher making meth for Breaking Bad. That was something. But you get a 50-year-old guy on Social Security strategies.
Oh, Netflix special. Although, I am a... I watch these mysteries and the Ponzi schemes and the things that come out... on the TV shows, real life, right?
You like American Greed or whatever.
One of my favorite shows.
I can't watch it. Every time I see something like that, it's like, how do human beings take advantage of other human beings like that?
They have a new, this is good, along those lines. HBO has a new show called The Wizard of Lies. It's a movie about Bernie Madoff, and it stars Robert De Niro.
Oh, as Bernie Madoff. Pretty good.
It's really good.
It's on HBO. I don't subscribe to HBO.
You don't subscribe to HBO?
I don't.
Really?
I did. I actually got rid of it because there was some material. They had some stuff on it that I didn't think was appropriate. I had teenage kids in the house, teenage son, and there was some of the stuff.
Yeah, that sure stopped your kid from viewing that stuff. Cancel that subscription for my family because I didn't want my kids to
After that, my 17-year-old, pure eyes always.
Nothing. Yeah. Not a problem. Never swayed. Like you have control over them.
Okay. See, the people are listening with the little young kids are like, oh, I don't know why they're laughing.
You'll find out soon enough.
Those kids are older. Like, yeah, I get it. Yeah,
you'll find out soon enough.
Anyway, to join
Wizards of Lies, it's on HBO. If you'd like to watch it, you can't go to Scott Hansen's house
because I don't have HBO.
He doesn't have HBO, but for the rest of America.
And I do kind of miss a couple of programs.
Well, I'll give you.
Maybe I'll get it now. My 19-year-old's out of the house. He's 19.
Here's
now.
What I'll do. I'll give you my passcode so you can download
that's a great
digital
idea.
Thing. You get six people on it.
Get your passcode. So, Pat, that's the great thing. Here's how to scam the cable companies.
No,
you get one password.
No, I don't know if it's scamming. You can't view it on your television, but you can watch it on your mobile device.
It's like I remember growing up. We had a bootleg satellite thing.
Oh,
or something.
Did you really?
Yeah, I always kind of scratch my head. Don't lie.
Don't steal. Oh, but the bootleg satellite.
That's fine. I was not quite sure about that. Anyway, we digress. To join us for you would like to be a caller on the program here. Question for us: 1-888-2-Hanson. We'll get you on the program. 1-888-2-HANSON, and numerically it's 1-888-242-6766. And we're going to go to Colorado and talk with Amy. Amy, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello.
Hi, Amy.
Yes, I have a question in regards to retirement. My husband is 69. I am 58. And we have his retirement through the military. I have a relative in California who had left me an inheritance, and I don't know whether or not to keep it liquid or at my age invest it. We can live off of my husband's retirement, but if he passes before me, that is cut drastically.
Yeah, do you have any survival? Because I know military plans, a lot of people opt for a single life pension because the survivor benefits are so costly. What kind of survivor benefits are on there for you?
We do have life insurance that would probably get me, I believe it is, $30,000 to $40,000 one lump sum life
but
insurance.
As far as his,
and then I would have half of his.
And what is his now?
His military right now is around $3,200 a month.
Okay, so then you'll get $1,600. And then, did I hear you right? You're both retired? You're both not working?
I own my own business right now.
Do you earn any money at this business?
Do I what?
Do you make any money? Does the business make money?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And but I'm wanting to retire here in the next couple, 3 years.
Okay.
So how much do I need to keep liquid? And at my age, does it, what can I invest in?
So let me, two more questions.
How much? This is twice you said your age. Amy, you're 58. Maybe that sounds old when you're 20, but when you're 58, right?
You're not that old.
You're not that old. I mean, you've got a pretty high probability of being around 30 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
so how much money do you earn at your job now, and how large is the inheritance?
What we earn in a year?
No, just your job, your self-employed job. What do you make on that? What's the take home?
Probably $60,000.
Okay. And how much money did you inherit?
Oh, $40,000.
$40,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
So do I keep it liquid or do I, is it worth investing that?
Do you have any retirement plans have you done any retirement plans through your work or anything like that?
No, we just have my husband's retirement. He draws his military and his Social Security now.
And what do you owe on your house?
Total, nothing.
Oh, good for you. I would like to see these dollars get converted into a Roth IRA.
Okay.
Have you done a Roth IRA for you or your husband?
No.
So this is just what we're looking at here is how do we kind of maximize some tax benefits first? That's the first question. The second is how should we invest these dollars? So if you plan on retiring the next few years.
Yeah, but Scott, she's not going to be able to retire in the next few years. She wants to retire in the next few years. Her income herself was $60,000 last year. Do you have any dollars saved towards retirement?
You know, we've put everything back into the business and into our property, the equity of our home.
If you sold the business, how much would the business sell for?
Probably $200,000, $250,000.
Yeah. So here's the reality of the situation. Yes, you should invest that $40,000 towards your retirement. Yes, you should probably keep it as separate property and away from the marriage.
She didn't ask that question.
I know. I answered a question she didn't ask.
All right.
You not think that's the right?
I don't know.
Okay. But the reality is that you're not prepared to retire in the next couple of years. If you started today, you could be prepared to retire at the age of 65 or 67 and replace some of the $60,000 a year in income. But if you were to sell the business today at $250,000.
You know, I might throw something out. So the difference in the age between the two of you, if there's a way you can structure your business and where you can take a little more time off today and delay retirement for a number of years, it might provide the flexibility that you may want. You know, your husband's 69. I'm assuming his health is still decent, but with the difference in age, you know, the next decade might give you your best opportunity to enjoy some things together. I'm just kind of wondering here.
And that's what we're looking at. You know, there's things that we want to go do and whatnot, and I don't have to sell the business, and my son is capable of running the business. And that's something that we've looked at of letting him run it over the next several years. Right now, he has a 20% share of the business.
Okay. I'm feeling better about this.
So I'm looking at maybe increasing his and taking less on ours, maybe doing a 60-40-60 to him, 40 to us. And, you know, his sweat equity over the years has been awesome and very beneficial to us. But I'm not going to give him the business. We have no children. My other child's not interested in it, but I'm still not going to give it to him. He can.
Well, you may want to structure a sale to him over a period of time. I like Scott's idea. If you can step,
I'm just thinking. If you're my older sister, not that much older, by the way. If you're my sister, it's funny, Amy. I've been in this business so long. It used to be. If you were my mom,
yeah.
But now you were almost the same age. So, but I'm sitting there thinking. Just look at the age difference between the two of you. You're talking about retirement. You know, really, realistically, if 3 years from now you're not going to be able to just quit working and have enough cash flow to last you till you're 90. So, is there a way to structure some things so that you can get some time away when you're truly away, where you're not, the business isn't dragging you in, and maybe do some things with your husband that maybe some of those things you've kind of dreamed about, the type of things that people think about, this is what I want in retirement. And then figure a way to kind of, you might have to work a little bit longer, but if you have a little more flexibility, might be fine with you.
But the answer to your original question is that $40,000. There's two things to know. One is that if you commingle it with your spouse, it becomes community property. So you may want to keep it separate property. That's completely one decision. But I agree with Scott. If, in fact, you are going to commingle it, you would probably want to make Roth contributions for both you and your spouse for the coming years in order to get those dollars invested, to grow tax deferred and to come out tax free, you need to go through a Roth conduit to get there.
And maybe even a traditional, I'd talk to your accountant and figure out what's going to make, if you're in a 25% or higher federal tax bracket, you might just want to take a deduction, get the tax savings today.
And then convert at some point in time. So yes, you do want to invest those dollars towards your retirement. I don't know how much money do you have in the bank now? How much liquid cash do you have now?
Oh, right now, probably $25,000.
Okay, I would invest all of this.
Yeah.
All $40,000.
Yep.
And I would...
Well, now, I have the opportunity possibly with our business and a couple large contracts that we've landed that are a three to five-year contract where there is a possibility, a very high possibility, I could probably invest another $50,000 a year over the next 3 years. At what point in time would I say, okay, I've got enough invested, sell the business to my son and move on? How much would I have to have in a Roth to say, you know, I need to be able to, if I lost my husband, make up that extra $1,500?
Oh, to make up the $1,500 a month, you would need $18,000. You'd need $450,000.
And honestly, I don't need. I mean, if we.
Yeah, I'm with you.
If I didn't have the business and I didn't do anything and I, you know, wasn't.
Well, there's a difference between need and want, right?
Right.
So what we need is food.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And shelter.
And between his retirement and his Social Security, there's more than enough to cover all of our needs and bank money every month. If I wasn't running the business and incurring other expenses because of that, out of pocket. So
what you want to do is
and you're investing your business may be the best place to go, may not be. We don't know enough about your business. Of course, we don't have enough time.
What you want to do is meet with your accountant or your tax preparer and ask whether it should be a Roth or a, and then I would put the dollars in to a good balanced fund.
Yep.
Not easy. So appreciate the call.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Wish you well, Amy. And, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of baby boomers, right, marching towards retirement age that think, I'd like to retire at this age. I'd like to retire here. Reality is, maybe, there's for a lot of people, not really enough assets saved up for a full retirement at age 62 or whatever they're hoping for, given how much longer we're living, et cetera.
A vast majority of the people.
Yes. So, you know, when you look at 2/3 of baby boomers say they're going to continue with some sort of work in retirement, a lot of it's just because they're probably going to need to do some.
And not necessarily that that's a bad thing.
No, but I think for some people, it's looking at and saying, is there a way to restructure things today, even if it requires postponing retirement a little bit, or maybe number of years, to provide some more flexibility today, which is the type of thing a lot of people are looking for in retirement.
Yeah, I'm going to work a little bit less every year, but I'm going to work more years.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, if you said, look, how about if you can work, take 3 months off a year,
mm-hmm.
and we'll structure something, a lot of people would take that. the workplace little challenge.
Yeah, it doesn't allow for that.
Yes.
Yes.
And
lots
I think
of people would take that job.
Yeah.
I'd take that job.
I could think not to, but my workplace won't allow for it.
Yeah,
by the way,
guys,
you're not going to hear Money Matters for the next month.
And the draconian draconian environment in which we work, it's overwhelming.
Draconian. The culture of this place stinks.
It's awful. And I scream at them all the time. You need to change. We need to be happier.
You need to change. All right, we're going to take
a quick... It's you, not me.
Yes, you're the problem. You want to join Hanson McClain? Got a question for us? 1-888-2-HANSON. We'll get you onto the program. 1-888-2-HANSON. And you're listening to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. We'll be right back.
Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson here with you.
Pat McClain.
1-888-2-HANSON is the number to be part of the program. Again, 1-888-2-HANSON. And I tell you, Pat and I were talking actually earlier in the day, and we said, why don't we have this conversation on the air? Because
well, we started the conversation, and we said, you know, this might be actually radio-worthy.
Radio-worthy. Which is a lot of my conversation throughout the week. Is this radio-worthy?
Should I be having this conversation on a microphone?
My wife's talking to me. Is this radio-worthy conversation? So one of the big challenges that we see for our economy...
And the continued growth
for it to keep is a shortage of labor right now.
It's real.
And with this immigration issue, or what's it? Immigration is such an interesting thing because a lot of things are pretty clear. Democrat versus Republican, left versus right. Immigration issue is a little more complicated because you get a lot of business people, some business people that are
Far right
or far left. That's like, well, we need, I have to have some more immigrant labor. I can't survive without it. And I was talking to a friend of mine. He is a large plumbing contractor. They do a big apartment complexes, things like that, plumbing. And he was saying, he says the challenge is for everybody, not just him. He says, there's not enough laborers. There's not enough labor, not enough workers to do the projects. So he's like, I could certainly bid more projects. I can't get the workers.
So what do you think that is just? Do you think that is just a immigration issue, or is this that everyone needs to go to college issue as well?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. And I said, so I'm talking to him. I said, what's your standard? Where do you start it? Like I said, let's pretend like I'm just some 19-year-old fresh kid. He's $15 an hour where you start. And I said, how long would it take before I'm like a better paid up and runner? Oh, a few years. I said, so let me get this straight. So I come to work for, let's say I came to work for you at a high school. I said, 4 years down the road, could I have hit the trade figured out pretty well? Yeah. Would I be able to go get my contractor's license? Yeah. I said, if I want to go start my own little plumbing business to compete against you after 4 years, could I do that? Oh, absolutely. He says, but nobody wants to, we can't get workers for $15 an
hour. What would the name of your company be called, Scott? Scott's Toilets and Tubs, something like that, or?
Yeah, Scott's Toilet. And I would only have Scott tissue.
That was it. You know, old Scott theme?
Yes.
So back.
There's actually a Hanson manufacturer of toilets as well. So I'd have the Scott tissue and the Hanson toilets.
Beautiful. So how much would you make 4 years into it? 30?
Yeah.
You'd make $60,000 to $70,000 a year?
No, he said, you get advanced, you're $30-$35 an hour.
That's $70,000 a year if you're working full time within
right.
a few years. So.
And so we're having this conversation, and I said, he says, we're all, and everyone in the trades, we're all scrambling right now. And he says, it used to be a lot more people from Mexico and Latin America. They're not
undocumented.
Yes. Well, they just come up with a green card, and he says, Social Security card.
And you could hire them.
But he said that they're just...
It's not here. So that's going to slow the growth of the economy. Whether you want to believe it or not, we need laborers. We need people to start on the bottom. Not everyone starts on the top. You need people to start on the bottom. What did you do, Scott?
I trimmed trees 5 years.
Yep. You started working for someone and started your own company?
I worked for someone in high school. And then
figured it out.
Then I worked for someone for a year or so in college. And then I ended up, this company that I worked for, I said I was going to go leave and start my own. And I ended up buying that company.
Oh.
The guy's like, well, if you're going to leave, how about you just, you want to buy this from me? And I worked at, I didn't even have any cash. I worked at a deal.
So the point being is that you developed a skill from the starting at the bottom. It will grow. It will slow the growth of the economy if we do not have enough workers. And in fact, this last year, we saw more 12B2. We always hear about the 12B1 visa workers, but 12B2 visa workers than we have historically. And the reason being is that more people are coming to the United States legally to work. They were coming before, but oftentimes undocumented or illegal. Not that the work was illegal. Their being here was considered illegal. Where now they're coming in through a legal means. My son, I have a son that works in company at Denver that brings in over 300 12B2 visa workers from South America. I think it's 9 months. It's a temporary work visa. I think it's 9 months. It could be a year or maybe even two. But
I must say, I scratch my head when it's like every kid should go to college. They said, now we're talking about free college. And I look at, so you get out of college with a sociology degree. You get out of college with a psychology degree. What?
Well, you know,
what
I was
jobs
at a,
are you going to do?
I was at a Starbucks.
You got an art history degree.
I was at a Starbucks recently, and I ran into this kid that my son went to college with. And I asked him, I said, what are you doing working at Starbucks? Don't you have a degree? And he said, yeah. I said, what's your degree in? He said, it's in philosophy. I said, I said, why didn't you get a job? He said, none of the big philosophy companies were hiring.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
The philosophy company. Is that really what he said?
I made that whole thing up. It's a joke.
It wasn't a very funny joke. I'm glad you thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny. My point being is that...
You might say, Scott, what's this have to do with the financial markets?
Well, because it affects the growth of the economy.
We got $1.2 or $1.3 trillion in student loans out there. These kids can't afford to buy homes because their student loans are $80,000.
Well, one of the reasons the kids can't afford to buy homes is home prices continue to go up for two reasons. One is
labor shortage.
Because it's real.
Instead of working in the trades, we're saying you got to go to college.
It's real. Labor shortage, and the other is the cost of government infrastructure inside those particular areas.
Yeah.
It's a very, very big driver of cost.
Huge.
We as a citizenship should be actually concerned about this labor issue. We should be concerned about this labor issue. We should be doing our best thing we can in order to get our hands around it. Because otherwise, it's not going to be how much the labor costs. It's that you can't get the labor.
I don't know what it is. You know, it's funny. I've got a sister that one of her boys is, I don't know, 21 or 20, something like that. And he surfs all the time. He lives near the ocean. Like, surfs every day. Loves it. Gets up early, surfs. And he didn't want to go to college. And of course, she's, you got to go to college. And he said he wanted to be in, if I've told this on the show before, I apologize. He said he wanted to be in, was thinking about becoming an underwater welder.
Oh, yeah. You have told him this. What's wrong with being an underwater welder?
And she was still encouraging him to go to college. I'm like, make him go to college.
Yeah.
Like, I think someone who loves surfing, maybe being an underwater welder.
But even
welder.
Being a welder or even being a plumber. I have friends that are plumbers. They have little guy has two trucks. Great little living.
Why aren't we having him go take study philosophy instead?
I don't know.
And so he can come out of college with an $80,000 loan.
I don't know. But it's the labor issue is real. Labor issue is real.
We don't have the trades. But what I do find interesting is that we can't see, obviously, politically, we're in a kind of a mess right now, right?
Yeah.
To getting anything done.
Yeah, people can't come together.
On anything. So,
but the market seems to have insulated itself significantly from the political.
You think?
Yeah, like there's no.
It almost says there's like a disconnect.
There's nothing. Like no time that I've ever seen that the market doesn't, it's completely deaf to the political winds. Completely. Have you ever seen anything like it? I mean, you would see some minor reactions. And in the tax budget, the markets don't respond to the tax because I was listening to talk shows. I was listening to a talk show recently. The the financial advisor guy was talking about all the new upcoming tax changes as if he knew.
What tax changes?
We have no idea. We're not going to talk about any of the proposed tax changes here. And the reason is they're proposals. They're a long way from being what's going to be the law.
I thought they were all excited about a 15% business tax.
That's not going to happen.
That's what I said. I said, you mean to tell me you're self-employed, you're going to go from a 39.6% plus 3.8% Obamacare tax, you're going to go from a 43% tax to 15
that's what
overnight?
Gonna...
I said, you really think that's going to happen?
No.
That's what I said. No, that's it's what, not
But the markets
happen.
Have divorced themselves completely from devoid, what happened.
Devoid of any sort of reality whatsoever. Anyway, well, we've got a really interesting guest today. Almost most America, at least most listeners, I should say, have a 401k plan.
Or know what a 401k is.
At least know what one is. Or have had one before. We at Hans McLean have a 401k plan. Ever since I entered the workforce after college, have been participating in a 401k plan. And in today's show, our guest, Ted Benna, is the father of the 401k plan. You didn't even know one existed, but we have it. Mr. Benna created and gained IRS approval for the first 401k savings plan years ago. And he is our guest today. So, Ted Benna, welcome to Hans McLean.
Hey, Pat Scott, glad to be with you today.
Yeah, and we appreciate it. We've chatted in the past, and you've helped us on some articles we've written and whatnot. And give us a little background on how you created the 401k.
The story behind it, you know, there's myth and there's reality.
We like the myth.
That I was, I was reading the IRS code and discovered this little paragraph no one had ever seen before. And that's actually appeared in print, but I've never made that statement.
Yeah, I've read that before. That's exactly what I read. It happened by accident.
Journalism. So anyhow, you know, what actually happened was this section was there. I just applied it in a very different way than what was intended. I came up with the idea of adding an employer match and an employee pre-tax contributions to this section of the code. And there wasn't anything there saying that you could do it, but there wasn't anything saying thou shalt not either. So,
and what was the code created for, if not for this?
It's pretty long history, but the kind of a shorter version I can give is it was added relative to employer funded cash or deferred profit sharing plans. So that's the reason.
So basically, was it like kind of a non-qualified deferred compensation plan? Is that what it started as?
No, actually, is this Scott or?
Oh, this is Pat.
Pat, yeah, Pat. It was it was a qualified, actually deferred retirement plan, and you know these programs are set up typically by banks that wanted to eliminate cash bonus plans. And they did that by putting in these combination plans where the bank at the end of the year, instead of a bonus, would now say, hey, we're going to take your $1,000 and half of it you have to defer. The other half you can take as cash or defer, whichever way you want to go. Yeah, that was basically the type of program we're talking about.
And what were you doing for a living then? Were you working for a large bank?
No, I was a benefit consultant, Pat, and the interesting thing is I had an assignment here of helping a bank redesign their retirement program. And, you know, while I was attempting to come up with a solution to accomplish exactly what they wanted to accomplish, it was when I put the pieces together here, of, you know, of what we know now as a typical 401k savings plan.
And what do you think that with the advent of the 401k where we have employee directed plans, that it actually helped with the demise of defined benefit or monthly pension plans? Do you think that was a contributing factor?
A very small one, Pat. And, you know, those plans were, they were dying before 401k came in existence. And the two biggest reasons for their demise are ERISA, you know, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, a couple provisions in there. And the other is the accounting rules, which made pension expensing a crapshoot rather than something that was fixed and predictable.
Just read in the paper a couple weeks ago about Sears, Old Line Sears, was offing a bunch of their pension obligations to MetLife. And I thought,
trying to get it off their books.
Yeah. So they got rid of their catalog too at the same time. Said no more catalog delivery. We're going online.
Tell us about your feelings about the 401k. So you're the father of the 401k. Are you proud of your son? Are you disappointed?
Hey guys, it's always mixed.
It's a mixed bag. Okay. You know, it has helped millions of individuals participating in these plans over the years accumulate roughly $15 trillion of retirement savings.
Wow.
Okay. And most individuals wouldn't have done this on their own. So what 401k did and still does is turn spenders into savers by making that the first priority. So I can't be ashamed of that. I mean, it's a pretty good thing. The thing that bothers me about it today is, frankly, the fact that it's been hijacked by the investment folks, and others who have gotten this point to where people are paying a lot more in these programs than they should be. That's the part that bothers me.
And that's interesting. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Ted Benna, the original. He originated the 401k, if you will. He's the father of the modern day 401k. And he's talking a little bit about the history. So let's talk a little bit about the fees and how the industry, which is often the case, and the listeners may have heard me say this before. If the financial services industry was the food industry, I think everyone would be dead because of the additives, the things that actually go into the product that are oftentimes toxic.
You don't even know they exist.
That you don't know exist. Tell me what and we see it too, which is there's overcharging and there's hidden fees and there's backroom deals. Tell me what you think will fix that, or how a consumer can be more aware. And the problem with the 401k obviously is if I'm an employee of the company, I don't have any choice but to use that company's 401k.
Yeah, you're right. And, we got through to this position on the expense side through a series of things. Initially, employers paid the administrative costs for these plans, and participants paid only the investment fees. And first time, I saw participants basically get a raw deal on this was back in the late 80s when I was interviewing the HR exec director of a major Fortune 500 company. He told me how he was able to get $100,000 of expenses off his budget by moving their plan to a big mutual fund company, and all the fees got wrapped in, and guess who absorbed them? The participants.
Yep.
That was the first step, okay? The next was I helped launch investment advice, where you got it online, and it was being provided quite inexpensively. And, there's a long history around that, but unfortunately, after the financial industry fought having independent advisors telling their participants how to invest their money, they suddenly woke up to the fact that, hey, we could use this to make more money rather than less money. So what happened is, this kind of answer got built in, advice and other arrangements to add another layer of fees on top of the fees they were already getting. And so now we saw fees in the smaller employer market, and also this is spread over to IRAs, push up into the 250 or so basis point
crazy
range.
Crazy. For the rest of the listeners, that's 2 to 2.5% fees on an investment, which really is expensive. a crazy high number.
And I can tell you an actual story. I mean, this just happened a couple of weeks ago. The owner of a small business locally here in my area asked if, I'd look at their plan. And, I went in and, I mean, they've got 8 people. And, it's easy to restructure their plan to reduce the employer's cost they're paying by about 2/3. And to reduce the amount the participants are paying by 94%.
Wow.
From 2.7% to, 15 basis points. It's 2.70 to 0.15.
So In saying all this, do you think that we should just, you know, I often have this idea that we should just throw out the 401k and start over with some sort of payroll deduct that has a self-directed option on it so that you don't have to move the money every time you get a new employer. You don't have all these qualifier tests. We're not discriminating against people that work at a small company that don't have 401k.
You could hire any advisor you like. You could hire Ted Bennett, or you could hire anybody.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
I'd actually floated that idea around Washington quite a few years ago and said, you know, I was asked, well, what's the primary barrier to doing that? Because, you know, the technology's there.
Yeah, it's easy.
It'd be very easy. I said, the biggest barrier is the Form 5500. You know, if you got rid of the 5500 form, which, you know, requires compiling this aggregated plan level financial data, why, you know, that's the biggest barrier. So that didn't go anywhere, but, you know, that's one answer. But, yeah, I'm working. I can't go into details with you, you know, right now, Pat and Scott, but I'm actually on to something new here right now that could be quite interesting in changing a lot of this stuff going forward. And, you know, I'm not far off. I haven't legally protected it yet.
Ted, how long have you been in this human resources benefits consulting space?
Longer than you can imagine, since 1960.
Since 1960. So you've been doing this.
That's almost a century ago.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. And it's important. And
something tells me that Ted is still not because he didn't participate in his own 401k.
My guess
sure
is
he has some retirement savings, I'm thinking.
But I got to tell you, I have children who are college age and their friends were over and they ask, what's the first thing I should do, Mr. McLean, to prepare for financially? And the first answer is always maximize your 401k plan the first chance you get and never lower it from the maximum, because you will learn to live on what you take home. And there is no better vehicle. But it doesn't have to be a 401k. It could be any other vehicle, as you said, Ted, which is it's complicated. We have a 401k division, a retirement plan division here at our company. And the problem is, you're running a small business. You have 40 or 50 or 60 employees. The last thing you want to do as a business owner is to do an evaluation on a plan that you have a fiduciary responsibility to other people. The last thing.
Yeah.
It's just one more thing that can go wrong. Do you think?
Yeah, you guys are right. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So. Well, hey, Ted, thanks for taking some time and joining us today. And thanks for your creation of the 401k.
Yeah. And thank you.
You guys are welcome. And yeah, hope we reconnect at some time again. So it's a lot of fun, guys.
All right. Thanks, Ted.
Wish you well. And it's interesting because I've read the story that he stumbled across this paragraph and created. I guess it was a little more than that.
Well,
he was a hired consultant.
Stumbled across it. He was studying it. And he was thinking outside of the box. What did he say? They didn't say I could, but they didn't say I couldn't. But obviously, the IRS signed off on it.
Yeah. You listen to Hanson McLean's Money Matters, by the way, if you just turned in. And one of the lines he had said earlier, the thing about what the 401k did, it turned spenders into savers.
Spenders into savers.
And so, Pat, your advice is you tell these young kids just to save first thing. The key for most of us is if we can have something automatic that sucks our money out before we have to chance to spend it, that's where we're going to be ahead.
It develops a discipline.
And whether it's through your company payroll, which is kind of the easiest because that's where the paycheck comes, or if you don't have that or you're saving for something else. This week, my wife and I, we do pre-marriage counseling sometimes. So we're meeting with
You guys have been married for 20 some odd years. What are you going to pre-marriage counseling for?
We're thinking about doing it again. It's been so good. Now, with the other couples, we're meeting with this young couple.
Oh, you're the counselors.
Yeah, that's the big shock. I know we've been separated for a number of years.
That's why we get along so well.
just last week, and meet with this young couple, and he wanted to have enough money set aside for like an emergency when they got married, certain amount of cash set aside. So he says,
he's 60? How old is the guy?
He was 21 or something.
Okay.
22. Right. Young couple, just graduating college, type thing, getting married. Beautiful young couple. Exciting time in life, all that stuff. But he said
all that stuff. Yeah, okay, keep going. You're like waving in. You're not in love. Young couple. Love. All that stuff. Okay. So.
But he said that he set aside an automatic deduct from his checking account each month that went to a savings account. He says, I haven't even looked at it in months. I don't want to look at it because I don't want to get tempted to spend it.
Oh, good for him.
Just happens automatically. Setting up these patterns. So whether you're 21 or setting up these patterns, or you're a little behind the ball and you're 51 and set up these patterns, you know, now that I'm going to tell you another side story about this.
Okay.
So this couple, one of the things they were talking about doing, I hope I'm not giving, I don't know if they ran this by their parents yet. They were talking about maybe taking like a year off and traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Like after a few years, rather than wait until retirement.
I have some friends that did that.
And I said, what do you think? And they were expecting me to think it's terrible. I said, I actually think it's a great idea. I had dinner with a couple about a year ago in their late 20s. They took a year off their career and traveled the world. They loved it they had kids and all that.
Friends that did that, sold their house, bought a motorhome.
A young couple.
Like the movie Lost in America.
I didn't see the movie. But the millennials are clearly approaching things different.
Yes.
Than... Yeah.
They say waste time on the old and money on the old and time on the young.
What?
Never mind.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, I don't know why I brought that up. But
anyway, so this is the time of the show where we remind you to go to our website, HansonMcLean.com. HansonMcLean.com.
That was a little note. Remind listeners.
Go to HansonMcLean.com. Promote our website.
It says right here. Promote the articles, radio show clips, and quarterly updates that we post on Facebook. So there we go.
Okay, so we would like you to go to the Facebook
page.
Let
people know they can go to Facebook.com. Hey, I don't think we're actually supposed to be reading this.
Go to our website, Hanson McLean. Sign up for our weekly download podcast of this great, marginal radio show. And you could get it delivered to your mailbox.
And by the way, if you're new to the podcast and I hear about this. We have a little video clip on our website that shows you how to download the podcast, how to podcast.
Yeah.
So,
and sign up for our newsletter while you're there.
I think you'll like it. Yeah. But the podcast is a nice way to do it because you're not always driving around in your car or in your garage or gardening or whatever.
Well, almost anywhere.
Almost anywhere. Anyway, the music means we're out of time. It's been great having you with us. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters, and we'll see you next week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.